It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always during the BBOTT season, I'm here with you live on a Wednesday night to recap the latest eviction in the Big Brother Over the Top House and discuss the results of the HOH competition with some good pals of mine. First is a man who did a great job hosting for me on the weekend, filling in. I really appreciate it. He even took time off from his love tours to do it. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing, Jordan Parhar. I'm doing just fine. How are you? Well, I still don't have a lower third working. I don't know who I need to talk to about this, but this is becoming like a recurring thing. Google?
This is kind of weird, right? Like you went to New York. You know, it seems like did you get some infection or something that maybe would have like transmitted to your computer? I don't know. This is we're going to have to look into this. So if anyone's a tech person and can help Alex Kidwell out with his issues, that would be great. Next on the panel tonight is a man who is also he also had a day off of the podcast, but now he's back. He's excited to be here. Returning from Florida, Brett Wagemont, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Hello, Jordan Parhar. My lower third is working perfectly. Everything is perfect in my life. Morgan is the new HOH. How y'all doing? It's so nice to be here.
I wish we could have I could see the timeline where Chrissy won that HOH so we could also get Brent's reaction.
I was preparing for it. I really was, because everyone in the chat room was like, you know, Chrissy can't win this. There's no way she could. Look at her. She's wobbling. I'm like, we all said that about the perfect shot competition and look what happened there. So I was ready, Jordan.
You were ready, and we were all ready for that. Well, not all of us, but we'll get into it as we recap the episode. Should be a fun one. I'm excited to be back. I've had a crazy, crazy busy week with stuff. So thank you again to Alex, Johnny Mack, and Taryn for filling in Sunday on the Rahappy Yes. Hour. I was at a wedding. It was a lot of fun. This week, it's just been a crazy busy week at school for me. So I'm very excited to relax and just talk with you guys about what's going on in the BBOTT house. And we've got a special guest as well here today, briefly. We didn't wait another 100 episodes to have him back on. It's the great Rob Cesternino, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, how are you?
Say what?
Yes, yes. Jordan, thank you very much for having me here on a Rahappy Hour. This is, I think, the first time I've been on a live Rahappy Hour.
Yeah, this first time that you're on the panel, Rob. So welcome. I offered, and for those of you guys listening, I offered Rob a position tonight on the panel, but Rob refused because he has to go do a blog. So
I have to write Stephen Fishback's blog, and I have to write it with enough time for him to turn it in his own handwriting so he doesn't get in trouble.
Wait, is that how it works? Is he just copies what you write and says, by Stephen Fishback?
Yeah. That's, they get pissed off if, you know, he hands it in my handwriting. It's a whole thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there we go.
What a thankless gig.
Yes. Yeah. So I have to still do homework tonight.
Okay. Well, Rob, we'll let you go briefly here. Just want to set things up for you guys. We are live on robiswebsite.com. We've got the chat room going on robiswebsite.com. If you can't see that on the show page, chatwing.com/rahappyhour for that. And we're going to be taking your questions as the show progresses. You can send those in by tweeting using hashtag rahappyhour, and we will get into those later on in the show. Before we start and recap the eviction and the HOH results, Rob has a special announcement. As I'm sure all of you guys know, we are currently on robiswebsite.com looking for a new live feed correspondent through the So You Think You Can podcast competition. Two of the finalists were announced on Tuesday night, and the third finalist is going to be announced tonight. So, Rob, who from Team Taryn is advancing to the final round this Sunday with me?
Yes, in true Big Brother fashion, we have a real hashtag butt first to get to, where we have to eliminate one more person from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. I know this was a tough one for a lot of viewers. People were saying that both of these people probably could have, they could see either one of them in the finals. Not Brent. Not say he wasn't saying that, because he said all of Team Brent should have been in the finals, right?
Exactly.
Yes. But we're down to Melissa and John over on Team Taryn. And one of them, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to tonight. So, again, I've tried to make this as drama-free as possible. So I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off and welcome Melissa to the round of three, to the finals. We're moving on to round – is this round three now with Jordan?
Semifinals, Rob. That's right, round
and
three.
And I just want to say that John did such a great job, and I really look forward to having John on more podcasts as well with his – background in psychology. I think that he's a very valuable member of the RHAPP family to have around. So I really look forward to talking to him on a number of different subjects in the future. So I hope to hear more from him, and congratulations to Melissa moving on. And now the final three will be appearing with Jordan Parhar on a happy hour.
They will this Sunday. We've had some issues with the time just because I've got school stuff going on. It's just a really busy month for me before the semester ends. But we will be live as of this hour, we will be live Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern with the three finalists in the competition. So it should be a really fun show. I'm really excited to see what happens, Rob.
All right. So check that out over the weekend with Melissa, Adam, and Liana joining Jordan.
Liana.
Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, you're doing what I did. Exactly. It's like picture it like this, like an on and an off switch. It's Liana. Like she's on. Liana.
Okay.
Liana.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I just did the same thing. The whole last podcast that I hosted, I did the same thing, which is totally embarrassing as me as a host. And then like my ears are especially attuned to it now.
Yes. All right. Well, I'll go back and check the tape and make sure I'm saying it correctly.
I know I was right.
I don't have to worry until round four about saying anybody's name correctly.
That's true. You're right.
Okay. Yes. And then two people will move on, and each will do a podcast with me as we get to the final week of BBOTT. So a lot on the line. Jordan, I'll let you take it from here. Take care, everybody, and enjoy the OTT coverage on the happy hour.
All right, Rob, have a good night. And
thanks, Rob.
Say hi to Dominic for me. Make sure he doesn't escape his bed again.
That's right. Like, escape the bed. Not if the, again, people, we're losing people. Talk about Big Brother. Okay.
Okay.
All right. See ya. Bye, guys.
All right. There he goes. There goes my hero, Rob Cesternino. He is done for the night. Wish we could keep him around, but he'll be back Friday with Alex and Taryn for more BBOTT coverage. Okay, guys, let's get into this episode here. So just to set things up for people who are not actually watching the BBOTT episodes, Danielle was evicted by a unanimous vote. America voted to evict Danielle. As Brent mentioned, Morgan is your new head of household. And it was announced that there is no more America's nominee in the House, and there is also no more America's vote. So lots of stuff to talk about here, guys. Alex, talk to me a little bit about Danielle going home here. I'm going to throw this to Brent because we haven't heard from Brent in a couple of days.
Thank you.
How
you doing?
How are you doing, Brent? So, Brent, we're calling an audible. Brent, what's your thoughts on Danielle going home here and how she's been the last few days?
I'm really disappointed in Danielle. I really have to tell you, I'm watching feeds on and on, and I've been traveling in Florida, also coming back today, flying through two different airports. I could not be more disappointed in Danielle because she totally gave up. I mean, literally through her entire diary room last night to the live feeders, and then all through today, and even before that, she was saying, you know, like, if I'm not going to campaign against Jason, if I go, I go. If I stay, that's great. So, well, I really don't care, because if I go, then that means that Jason gets to stay, and he's a really, really awesome guy, and he totally deserves it. I have one thing to say about this. Jason Roy has totally got a few of these house guests totally mind effed. Like, they are willing to just hand him the money. Please, sir, I do not want the money. I want to give it to you. There are only a few people in the house, namely Shelby, who are aware of the fact that she doesn't want to go up against Jason and his 60,000 followers on Twitter. I have no idea what Chrissy and Danielle were thinking. Danielle would have gone with Jason to the end. She said as much in her diary room last night. And the fact that she wouldn't campaign against him when there was a case to be made, that, let's just put it out there, there was a case to be made. She is from their perspective, probably the most hated house guest by America. She's been made a have not. She's been nominated by America. She thinks she got an America's eviction vote, although we know that was Alex playing a little hinky vote. And there's Jason, who has 60,000 followers on Twitter, who is a fan favorite, who has been on the big TV before. I mean, come on. I mean, this is like tailor-made. Make a case for yourself. I don't know if it would have worked because of all the bad play previous to all the stuff that's happened this week. But be that as it may, she didn't even make the case. And I'm sure Alex joins me in being horribly disappointed because I really did have a – I really was rooting for Danielle, and she let me down this week.
Alex, what could Danielle have done here? What do you think that they would have bought it at this point of the game, or do you think that she really had no fighting chance?
No, I mean, she basically needed a time machine to go back and undo several decisions that she made in positions of power. You know, like, it's important in this game to be a gracious winner and a gracious loser, and everyone's been guilty of not doing that throughout points of this season, but it's unfortunate that, you know, the timing certainly coincided with this fake Final Five deal that really had no merit whatsoever, coupled with, you know, just a general attitude about how, you know, she felt about Shelby and Morgan and wasn't really pulling any punches. I mean, the Final Five thing, then the double eviction where she says, okay, let's vote out Justin, and then immediately, like, changes her mind, doesn't tell them, votes out Whitney. She gave them no reason to want to work with her or want to trust her. So, I mean, when you compare her to someone like Justin, who just has been floating through the game, basically hasn't really alienated anyone or made anyone angry, like, it's pretty easy to see why you would choose to work with him. I mean, he really hasn't burned you yet, and she's burned you a couple times very recently. It's hard to let go of that.
Brent, let's talk about the unanimous vote here. How do you think that now that we saw that America also voted to evict Danielle? Taryn was talking about how, you know, it could have been bad for Morgan the other night if she would have decided to throw a hinky vote at Jason, because then the House would think, oh, Jason is maybe, you know, a little bit hated by America. What do you think about that? Do you think that this Danielle getting unanimous vote, do you think that really hurts Jason's game moving forward?
No, I think that the bed has been made insofar as Jason in regard to the other house guests. I think Chrissy is willing to take him to the end. Morgan and Shelby are clearly not willing to take Jason to the end. The only person that is a bit of a question mark is Justin. In his diary room last night to the live feeders, he said that his evil plan was to make sure that Morgan was the new head of household. That way she could do the dirty work of taking Jason out for him, because he doesn't think he can beat Jason at the end. Okay. Fast forward to today. I mean, he's around the other jamboree, so it's hard for me to tell what is true and what is not, but it seemed like he was more in with them than he was not. He was talking directly to the feeders, although Jason was like in the room, at least tangentially, and saying, you know, it's jamboree to the end. Don't ever let your friends down. So I'm kind of like, well, what's the truth? I'm having trouble figuring out what the truth is from Jason. I have to believe that if he's playing for the money, he wants to get Jason out this week. He needs to.
Okay, Alex, let's talk about this HOH competition a little bit here. What exactly was this comp? I came in, I was at school really late today, so I didn't get back until like the very end of this competition. They were like standing on, like, what was that they were even doing? Like, what was this competition?
So the first part of it was trivia. The second part of it was endurance. They answered 7 different questions, and I'm trying to find them now. I should have found them beforehand, and that's my bad.
It doesn't matter, but before the contest started.
Yeah. I mean, it started as a trivia competition. It was like A and B parts of a competition, like 2 separate parts. So they were in booths, like doing the A-B style of competition, only it was males or females. And every answer pertained to whether more males or more female, like who's received more eviction votes this season, and you answered males or females, and getting an answer wrong meant that you had to move down one level on part B of the endurance. It put you at a disadvantage for the endurance, which was multiple pegs in the descending fashion, kind of like Survivor style, where like the last peg is obviously very hard to stand on, and the first peg leaves a decent amount of foot room. And every 5 minutes, a new answer would flash on the board, and then they would read who got what wrong. And if you got it wrong, you had to advance a level. And by the end, if everyone, you know, whoever was left at that point, they just kept advancing every 5 minutes.
Okay. So in terms of, so Morgan ultimately wins this thing. Did she win because she got a lot of these right, or is she just great at endurance?
Morgan and Chrissy were the only two to get every question right. Jason got, I believe, one wrong. Justin got three wrong.
Okay. So Brent, how would you grade Morgan's performance in comparison to everyone else? Did she just destroy this competition, or was this one of those cases where the rest of the Jamboree just kind of did a weak job and it kind of helped her win this one?
Well, a few members of the Jamboree did a weak job. I thought Chrissy did amazingly well, considering that she's a bigger girl and, you know, that Morgan is a cheerleader. I know that a lot of the Jamboree fans are going to have problems with the fact that Morgan is a cheerleader who stands on people's hands all the time. So, of course, she would be good at something like this. They're saying that it's rigged. On the other hand, I would kindly point out, and I am not the most unbiased person, but certainly you can, if you don't want to hear it from my mouth, take it from Jason's mouth. After the competition, Jason said that that competition was tailor-made for him. It was made for him. Him and his tiny feet, he's been begging for an endurance competition. He got exactly what he wanted. It's not only an endurance competition, but he has tiny feet in order to be able to stand on the pegs. And he just had a brain fart. When he moved, it was all about the transitions. That's where people fell, basically. Although Justin, I think, did successfully make it to the last peg and then eventually fell like a minute or two later. When Jason was transitioning to the second peg, he overshot it a bit. You had so much. The one thing that we left out, you had 10 seconds, I believe, in between once they revealed who got an answer wrong or when you had to transition. And if you didn't transition within those 10 seconds, you were out. So you had to make sure your foot was off the last peg by the time Shelby said time, since she's the current head of household. And Jason was trying to transition, pulled back his other foot from the previous peg and just overshot himself. And quick enough, I didn't even see it happen. He was out quicker than I could even blink an eye. So, Jason said that this competition was made for him. I also agree that it was made for him. You know, I don't think that Big Brother makes a competition for anybody, but Jason had a great shot to win this, and he blew it.
All right. Well, Alex, what's Morgan's thinking right now? What's she thinking? What's her game plan in terms of the nominees, or has she not talked about that yet?
I feel like it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty obvious here, Jordan, because the factor that really hangs over everything is that there's one care package left. Justin's the only one who can receive it. Justin is guaranteed safety. That means no matter what she's thinking right now, we all know it's going to be Chrissy and Jason on the block. She's not going to nominate Shelby. She can't nominate Justin. That leaves two choices.
But this begs a question from Wambulance NYC. Wambulance says, will the care package challenge for Justin be to make a pizza while singing? Brent, how easy do you think this is going to be for Justin?
You know, I've come around on this, actually. Earlier in the season, I said, you know, it's going to be a cooking competition. What's it going to be for Justin here? On the other hand, I thought about it a little longer, and let's step back a little bit. I tweeted something out and quickly realized I was wrong. I was ecstatic when Morgan won head of household. However, Morgan winning head of household really doesn't change the status quo. That's the important thing to remember here. And what I was getting wrong and what everyone else was getting wrong in thinking about this is if Justin is indeed safe via America's Care Package, and it's not a done deal that he is, but let's assume for the sake of argument that he is, then he can't even be on the block even as a placeholder, much less a target. So he can't touch the block. Keep that in mind. So obviously, the nominations are made for Morgan. Morgan's going to nominate Jason and Chrissy. But on the other hand, because of the mechanisms of the care package, if Justin or Jason or Chrissy win the veto, Shelby must go up in their place and obviously, they're going to evict her. Now, the one question would be, if Justin won the veto, would he use it on anybody and put Shelby up? Because he also kind of wants Jason out. I don't know the answer to that question, but I kind of think he probably would want her out there. But it's important. To go back to your previous question, because of the ramifications of the care package, I am not convinced that it's going to be a mail-it-in kind of game. I do think there is a chance he may fail.
Alex, what's your take on this? Do you think it's going to be easy for him, or do you think they're gonna make him work for it?
It's funny because at the start of the season, I felt like I was saying, like, oh, there's no guarantee, and Brent was saying it was. And now I feel like I've come the opposite way, where This is the last care package. If it's something too hard, like, then what was the point of making it? Like, I know they haven't been perfect in terms of their planning with, like, care packages escalating in terms of power. But I mean, it's pretty foreseeable to think about, like, surely we can make this powerful enough to the point where if it's so difficult that the average person couldn't, you know, handle it relatively easily. And I'm not saying Justin, like, mentally is the average house guy.
Thank you.
But I mean, I feel like there's a, you know, better than 50% chance, certainly, that it's something that even Justin could pull off relatively easily. And if it's something that's, like, you know, physical or, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like he's going to be given a pretty lax amount of time to complete something or something to that effect, because otherwise, what was the point?
JP, the important thing to keep in mind, though, is if he's not safe, then that changes the entire equation. Now we're back to a regular Final Five scenario. Morgan doesn't have to worry about anything other than the person who's the off-the-block person winning the veto and forcing her to backdoor Shelby. So it'd be, if Justin is safe, any one of three people winning the veto means Shelby goes home. If Justin is not safe, only one person needs to win the veto. I mean, only one person can win the veto and Shelby goes home. Other than that, Shelby's still safe. So massive ramifications for Justin, whether or not he's safe or not this week.
And I do want to just throw out, I had a couple of people asking me or speculating on Twitter, and I think it's very clever, like, to speculate this. Like, this is kind of thinking outside the box and trying to read the rules in a way that I maybe necessarily wouldn't have, in that it does, like, the idea Justin gets to advance to the Final Four. Like, would that mean that Justin doesn't vote in the round of five? I went back and I kind of really read the rules. And my take is that, no, it wouldn't mean that. They wouldn't take anything away based on my interpretation of the thing. All they're doing is saying that you are safe until the round of four. But I think it's very interesting that people speculate about that. And I wanted to touch on it because, like, that is the kind of thing where it's like, oh, man, they really need to be clear about some of these rules, because otherwise it does create these situations for fans to wonder about exactly what these things mean before they have to vote on them. Well, in this case, we're not voting, I guess. But
Brent, do you co-sign that? Do you think that you don't think Justin's going to get a pass to the Final Four and then also not have a chance to vote?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I thought about this before myself, and I agree with Alex that it's not a good look for them. It's not because we're not voting this week, but it's not a good look for Big Brother because they don't want to look like they're favoring one house guest set over the other, and it doesn't matter which way they go. It's going to look like they're favoring somebody. If they say that he advances straight to the Final Four, obviously it looks like they're favoring Shelby and Morgan. If they say that he gets a vote still and can play in the veto, regardless of the fact that he's safe, then obviously it favors the Jamboree fans. So, you know, I don't like that Big Brother leaves themselves open to interpretation here, because they just get themselves in trouble when they do that.
All right. Let's jump into some of your guys' questions. You can send those in again by tweeting using hashtag #RehappyHour. You can tweet those to me at Jordan Parhar on Twitter. This one is from Michelle T. Carroll. Michelle says, hey guys, can we get a stock watch this week? So we're at the Final Five, guys. Figure might be a good time. We haven't done this in a while. Taryn's not here, so sorry, although I'm sure Brent doesn't mind. So let's roll through these house guests, buying or selling each of these five remaining house guests in terms of their chances to win this game moving forward. Let's start with a person who is on the minds of many people, and that is Jason Roy. Alex, are you buying or selling Jason's stock right now?
Well, I mean, it's tough because there's, I feel like if Shelby or Morgan win the veto, Jason's going home. Otherwise, Jason is a front runner to win the game.
Yep.
You know, so ask me on Tuesday and I'll have a perfect answer for you. As of right now, I just, like, hold what you got, I guess, because, yeah, I mean, it's really that cut and dry. At this point, there's not a lot of guesswork left to be done. I mean, we know, like, Shelby and Morgan, like Brent said, Shelby and Morgan win this veto, I think Jason's going home. And if Chrissy, Justin, or Jason win the veto, I really do believe that Shelby will go home, because as Brent pointed out, I mean, Justin's the only one who might, you know, potentially not do it. But the idea of Justin winning the veto and not taking Chrissy off more than, I mean, I don't think he's thinking about it beyond that at that point. I think he'll just be like, no, I'm going to save my girl Chrissy. So, yeah, I feel like 3 out of 5 times Shelby goes home this week, 2 out of 5 times it's Jason. And whoever emerges is a front runner to win from the two of them for me.
All right, Brent, you agree with that then? So if you, in terms of Shelby, you would hold your Shelby stock for now?
Oh yes, I really do. And the house guests are all aware of it. They know that Shelby is a threat to win. I mean, it's between Jason and Shelby. I think it would be terrible for Big Brother and for Big Brother fans as a whole if both Jason and Shelby go out back to back here, fourth and fifth. I know a lot of people have thought about that. We got drastically closer to that possibility by Morgan winning head of household. And just to put it out there, this was Jason's worst case scenario. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, he could have won head of household. He also could have had Chrissy win head of household, who obviously would never have wanted to put Jason up on the block. Although given the way the care package works, she might have to. It just depends. There's a lot of moving parts here. The point being that he had a chance to make sure that he was safe or that one of his friends was head of household, and they had a 3-1 advantage, and it just didn't work. And sometimes, as I've seen on Big Brother Canada, sometimes the fates just take over, and you know, no matter how much of an advantage you think you have, it just never comes to fruition. And so I am worried about Jason. As a fan of his game, although I do have problems with him whining in the bedroom about it, how unfair things are when I feel like he's been given a lot of breaks lately, him whining about needing breaks. Actually, let's just talk about that really quickly because people are begging me to drag Jason. Yes. So let's drag Jason. Jason complaining in the bedroom, not a good look, dear. Saying all last week, you know, I came all this way and I'm going to leave here at final six. I'm going to leave in sixth place. Fast forward to this week, loses the head of household competition, something tailor-made for him, goes right to the bedroom and says, I come all this way, made great sacrifices, and I'm going to go home in fifth place. I know that's what's going to happen. Bitch, shut up. Like, I really don't want to hear it. And he keeps talking about how Morgan and Shelby get breaks. No, bitch, they don't get breaks. They earn their shit, okay? That's what they've done ever since the double eviction night when they got a break. After you've had plenty of them, hello, Mr. Co-HOH, they have earned everything that they've gotten. So I don't want to hear it from him that they need a break. The people that need a break are the people who are playing a bad game right now. And he has to own and live in his shit. And the shit that he made is that fake final deal that he made with Shelby and Alex and Morgan when there was obviously no reason to do so. I keep going back to that because obviously up until that point, Shelby wanted to work with him. Now she can't even look him in the face straight because she knows everything coming out of his mouth is a lie. So Jason, sit your ass down, go win a veto, and you can park yourself in the final four as a favorite to win it all.
Alex, anything to add in response to that?
No, I mean, I think I covered it.
Here's what I will say. In fairness to Jason, okay, please, I will say this.
All right.
The veto being that powerful that Morgan got in the care package, that was a break. That was a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, they got one freaking break.
They got one break.
How many breaks has Jason and Danielle got, huh?
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
This would have been a steamroll if not for America. America constantly put their hand in front of the game to change it to make sure that Jason's side got a break. Because let's be honest, for the first 4 weeks of the game, they sucked. They did terrible. They couldn't win a comp to save their life. Only in the middle of the game did they finally get rolling a bit, mainly by Danielle winning a few things. But it really hasn't been them for the most part.
All right, well, let's jump back into the stock watch. Alex, talk to me about Justin. Are you buying or selling his stock right now? Because I think you have to buy, right? Because he's
have to buy.
Because he's getting his free pass. Like, let's say hypothetically he doesn't win the challenge or the competition. He's still like, what's the scenario in which he goes home this week? I feel like there isn't really any.
Yeah,
potentially, but I think he's still buy. Like, I think he's still in a position where he's perfectly placed between two pairs. So that's kind of where you want to be at this stage. Don't listen to what Dave Vaughn tells you. You do want to be the fifth wheel. It's a good place to be.
I agree. I think that Justin is in danger only if, one, he's not safe via the care package, if he doesn't complete whatever challenge there is, and B, Jason wins the veto. Obviously, then Shelby goes home. So he wouldn't be safe via the care. So let's see, if he's not safe via the care package and Jason wins the veto, that's when Justin can go home, because obviously Morgan and Shelby at that point would be judging between Justin and Chrissy. Are they going to evict Chrissy who's done nothing in this game, and they perceive it's so funny.
America's favorite, Brent.
Well, they are kind of on to the fact that Chrissy is probably a goat at this point. I haven't seen anybody who's afraid of Chrissy at this point. They are kind of afraid of Justin because they don't know how America views him, and that pizza song that they played really is it. That's an important part, and I don't like the fact that production did that because it really is having huge ramifications for Justin's game.
Brent, I will say, though, Prissy's a pretty big threat because she figured out that Morgan was lying. She was full of you know what when she was talking about how Alex was her sister.
Whoa, go! Yeah, that's great. So can we fast forward to later tonight when Morgan gets her care package and there are pictures of her and Alex in there? I can't wait. The chat room told me to bring this up. I'm glad you gave me the door, JP. Thank you very much. Like, I'm praying that production puts pictures of her and Alex in there, and we get to see Chrissy with the face crack of the century. Like, you know, I knew it all along. Yeah, sure.
I wish I was as smart as she was. I really do.
Oh my God. It's really, really just so embarrassing to watch that clip. Like, I don't even know where to begin with it. It's so, so stupid. Right? And she's sitting there saying, like, I can't believe she must think I'm pretty stupid. And it's like, yeah, no, Chrissy, you must think you're pretty stupid because you're insulting your own intelligence every second of this diary room right now. I mean, she gave you the benefit of the doubt. She's like overestimating your intelligence by thinking she can trust you with a secret. And you're so paranoid and stupid that I can't.
And what is up? Can we also talk about Chrissy? I know you didn't do a buy or sell or on Chrissy, but what is with her? She's so willing to take Jason to the end of the game. It's like she's back in high school or something. She wants to take her friend to the final four. She tried to do a really bad sell job on Morgan with Shelby. I think Shelby was in the room earlier today where she tried to get Morgan to throw head of household to Chrissy because Chrissy said she finally realized I'm sure she did this, JP. She tried to sell to them that she realized that Jason was a huge threat, that he's been her ride or die this entire time, but she realizes that she must get rid of him and if she wants to win the game. So she wants them to throw head of household to her so she can backdoor Jason. Never mind that they're at the final five and you can't backdoor anybody. Oh my God, I just want to kill somebody when she says that. So
she says she's been backdoored multiple times this
season. Right.
Exactly.
Because she was like nominated after the veto, even though she didn't go home. She thinks that's like, yeah, oh, I was backdoored.
Right, exactly. So so when she walked out of the room, Morgan turned straight to Shelby and said, I don't believe a word she's saying. She's lying through her teeth. You can see it. She's lying. So that didn't do anything. I will say people are also dragging me on Twitter because I criticized her. And obviously Morgan tried the same thing. She tried to get Chrissy to throw HOH to her. But the truth of the matter is that Morgan was being true to what she said to Chrissy. Morgan said to Chrissy, I want to get Jason out with my HOH. We need to get Jason out with the HOH. And she was being truthful to Chrissy when she put that deal to her. So that's the difference. Chrissy obviously would need a personality transplant at this point in order to want to backstab Jason. And I think that's really unfortunate because she has to know that. I mean, how does she expect to win?
America's favorite, Brent.
She's well aware that Jason is a threat, but she seems okay losing to him.
She just doesn't care. Yeah, she wants people to get to the end who don't have money and who need this. And that, like, and then, like, let the chips fall. Oh. That's all she cares about. I mean, she said it time and time again this season, and she feels like Shelby doesn't deserve it. Shelby is just going to, like, blow it on drinks and boys. And Morgan, like, she, you know, Morgan's a cheerleader, so obviously Morgan will do the same thing. But Jason needs the money, and I need the money, and Justin needs the money, and Danielle needed the money. So that's why we're good people, and that's why we all deserve to be there at the end. I mean, that has been Chrissy's mantra this entire season. That is why so many of us have been frustrated with it. I mean, it's not just the disgusting behavior and the unwillingness to play the game. It's the obvious fact that, like, from day one, she was never going to really be receptive to, like, anything but the idea that she had to work with Jason and, like, the couple people with Jason because those are the people who don't have money. That was never going to change from day one until day whatever. Like, that's the nature of Chrissy's idea of what this has been.
I'll give Jason credit. He's done a good job of making sure. Danielle said the same thing in her diary room and earlier today. Like, Jason has done a good job of gaining sympathy by this group of house guests. Now, obviously, there are some people in Morgan and Shelby that aren't buying it, but there are some people who are. And given that it's a final three, that's all he probably needs in order to get to the end.
Alex Kidwell, if she doesn't get a personality transplant, what are you going to do if Chrissy wins BBOTT?
Drink heavily for BBOTT 2. Honest, like, yeah, I feel like, yeah, I probably will vote for a winner, and I'll vote for anyone at this point over Chrissy. I have no problems doing it. I would have done it before. You know what I mean? It's just, it's frustrating to think that she'll be there. She will be there.
By the way, there are people.
I just couldn't do it in any circumstance.
There's people on Twitter saying they're going to vote for Chrissy if Justin and Morgan are with her in the final three.
Or Morgan and
all
and
I can say to you people, yeah, well, I've heard that too, but less so. I think a lot of people are willing to give Shelby the benefit of the doubt here and say, you know what, she's earned her spot. She's absolutely beasted through these comps. Even her fellow house guests are in the diary room saying that Shelby's beasting through these comps. So I think that gains her a little bit of favor with some portion of the electorate. But I can't believe people would actually vote for Chrissy over Justin Morgan. You know, people are criticizing Justin. I saw, he's been my foil all season. Eric from Reality Recaps, who I love, and I throw shade at him sometimes, criticizing Justin for being a giant douche because he's going over to talk with Shelby and Morgan after the results of this HOH tonight. I'm like, dude, he's playing the freaking game. What are you doing? I mean, like, how can you criticize that? How can you criticize him for going over and trying to be social with Shelby and Morgan? Jason's in the other room boo-hooing to himself. I don't call that fabulous gameplay. Justin has made sure, and it's so funny, when they came back in from the results of this HOH competition, the first thing out of Justin's mouth that I really heard was, oh, is he already in there already campaigning? Like, he is well aware that Jason is willing to throw him, being Justin, under the bus. And that's Jason's fault for letting that cat out of the bag. First with the double eviction by being kind of willy-nilly about who they were going to evict, and then eventually deciding Whitney after putting it out in the universe and letting Justin find out that it was almost him. And then secondly, by being the first one to go up to the HOH room and make, you know, every deal under the sun with by himself and with Danielle to Shelby and Morgan. Justin knew that they were throwing him under the bus. I will say Justin finally had it out here today with Jason and said, you know, I didn't like it when you did that. Jason's trying to sell it to Justin as strategy, but I don't think Justin's buying that. And I think he knows that Jason really was throwing Justin under the bus, and he was.
I mean, as recently as last night, I heard, I believe it was Chrissy in the backyard say, this is a team game. So, I mean, this has been a narrative this entire season, and we all know, no, it's not. Well, we don't all know. That's the ridiculous thing that I've learned with Big Brother Over the Top, Jordan, is that I used to think super fans, like, needed to be cast. Super fans represent people like me, people who understand this game, people who know what it takes to win. People are going to go in there and play this game hard and socially and strategically. No, a lot of these, like, quote-unquote super fans are bitter AF and would go out day three, like, tops, because a lot of these people I am learning have no semblance of an idea of what it is to actually play Big Brother, clearly, because the idea that you would get mad at Justin for, like, trying to, like, get Justin the win in a game where everyone has been a free agent since day one and can make whatever decision they want and there's no rules, like, unfathomable. I mean, it's just so ridiculous to me.
Well, to back that up even further, Alex, I mean, knowing from personal experience, you know, going from super fan to winner of Big Brother is a lot easier than it it looks. So, yeah. Or sorry, a lot harder than it looks, I should say.
But I feel like I've never been more, like, amenable to the idea of recruits, because, like, clearly you can find some recruits that are smart enough to pick it up after
Justin,
a couple weeks.
You're Shelby. Paul, Shelby, I mean, they are good people. It's just a question of finding the right people.
And then clearly some people who are really into Big Brother who just watch it all the time are, like, the kind of people who, like, if you burn me, I'm never going to get over it ever. And I'm sorry, that doesn't work in this game. This game, it behooves you to forgive your enemies even quicker than your friends so that you make them think they can trust you, and then you get them back later.
Quickly, Alex, if you can think of an example, I want you to think of a team that would represent both sides of this season. I don't think you can probably do it off the top of your head, but I'm going to come back to you on that. I want you to tell me what each team is this season that you can think of.
I'm confused by this question.
So which team represents in real life, what sports team represents, or maybe superhero team, whatever kind of team, represents the ball smasher side and the misfit side of the house? Let me know if you can think of anyone. While you're doing that, Brent, talk to me about Morgan. We went through all of these people stock wise. Now that Morgan has won this HOH, she's got another shot at winning the HOH at Final Four.
Yes.
You've got to be buying Morgan stock right now, right?
Yes, and that's important because Big Brother made that announcement. I don't know, did you guys announce this already last night? But earlier today, this is the first time I saw the Big Brother announced that the person who plays and wins in the Final Five Head of Household is also eligible for the Final Four Head of Household. My big question at Final Four is there a veto? That's the question I want to know. Or is it just, you know, there's a three-part HOH or a four-part HOH of the Final Four house guests, and whoever is the head of household gets to pick who they want to go home. Like, I could see them doing something like that with three people on the block, since for most of the season we've had three people on the block. Something else really quickly. Someone asked me this on Twitter and wanted to make sure you guys knew about this scenario. I think you touched on it last night, and I do have the answer for you. Obviously, Morgan is the current head of household. If Justin is safe via America's Care Package, Jason and Chrissy are going to be on the block. If Shelby wins the veto, let's say she saves Chrissy, people are like, well, what happens then? I'm like, what happens then? Jason goes home. Did you all not see Big Brother 5? The exact same thing happened. Cowboy was off the block. He won the veto. He decided to save Diane, and Nokomis was the only person left to be evicted, and she went home without even a vote. So if Jason is the only person left to be evicted, he's going to go home. You bet your bottom dollar.
That wasn't the endurance comp where he pooped himself, was it?
I'm not sure. I know he won a comp at Final Four.
I think that was an HOH that he pooped his pants.
No, okay.
That was earlier in the season because Marvin talked about it. So he had to do it.
I should actually – I'm playing a fantasy football league with Cowboy. I should message him and ask him. Which competition was it where you pooped your pants?
Your life is so eclectic. It's like mine. It's just like you never know what's going on in the life of Jordan Parhar.
You really don't, Brent.
Surprising thing I've heard.
Right? Me too. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, I played against him 2 weeks ago and my team won. So there we go. First place, by the way, in the Big Brother Canada versus Big Brother US fantasy football league.
Feels like you shouldn't be able to draft anyone but Cowboys.
Right? Well, I have Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, quickly, Alex, did you think of any teams that you could relate to the people in OTT? Or no? I thought of one. I don't know if you saw
it. Sure. No, I thought of one too.
I
think I've got a good analogy. I'm worried we're going to lose some people who aren't into the sports. But I think in a lot of ways, you know, the late night jamboree has been the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
I feel like they're very, very popular outside. You know, the fan base is large. They've done some like questionable things. I think like deflating the balls is like kind of akin to like smearing the pillows. You know what I mean? Like there's a little comparison to be made there. I think ultimately like a lot of breaks have gone their way. A lot of things, like there's a lot of things people point to that say like, oh, the Patriots, they got lucky there. And people said like, oh, the LNJ, they really got bailed out with care packages there. But they're, you know, they're dominant. They always seem to win. And here we are with, like, poised for probably like two of the three LNJ members have a great chance to win this thing. And then on the other side, I'd say the ball smashers are kind of like the Seattle Seahawks, where it's like they're really logical and they think ahead. They had like a few members this season in Alex and Scott and Shelby and like even Morgan to a degree that were all like, you know, like really thinking this game through on a level that I appreciated. And I think that's why some fans like them, that they were like trying to game this thing and thinking about like, all right, who has the care package next and how can we plan for that and who should be nominated based on that. And, you know, to me, that's kind of like the Seahawks with like the various packages they like to throw out and stuff. But then also at the same time, like the Seahawks are the team that like make the last second bonehead decision and get screwed seemingly with like, you know, like, oh, they got unlucky in the Super Bowl or they made a terrible call, like however you want to, you know, slice that. I think it is kind of an apt comparison because the ball smashers are like perennially winning competitions. Like they've dominated the head of households and vetoes this season, and yet their back is against the ropes constantly because whether they play it wrong or whether America just says no, like it hasn't really gone their way this season.
I do like those examples there. Brent, do you said you had one as well?
Yeah, but mine isn't as fun. I just like, I've always thought as Alex is a little bit of an ice queen. So like going back to last season's Big Brother on TV, I was thinking that the Ball Smashers plus Monty is like the real Fatal Five from the comics. And Alex is like, Alex is like the Emerald Empress. You know, she's like the bitch queen who's like willing to do anything to get what she wants. I mean, like that's how I always kind of took her.
I like that. Mine that I had was, I also saw this come up in the chat, if you've ever seen the movie Space Jam, I was going to say that the late night jamboree, they're the Monstars. In real life, you know, they probably, they're, you know, maybe not always the coolest or whatever growing up and whatever happens. But when they go in the Big Brother house, they get all this power because they have all these people rooting for them. And then they get huge and they're like dominating and they're the heavy favorite. And then on the other side, the Ball Smashers, they are in real life, you know, they're pro basketball players. They're, you know, they're popular. People like them, all this kind of stuff. But then when they go in the house, they kind of lose all that power. And they have to, they're really the underdogs and they are in trouble for a lot of the season.
I feel like this is the part where Rob would say, you're losing people. Let's go.
Yes. Well, if Shelby wins, she'll be Michael Jordan.
Yes. Shelby will be the MJ of BBOTT. Okay. Let's keep going with some of these questions. If we didn't lose everyone, this one is from Cassidy Elkin. Cassidy says, I have seen people say on Twitter that Morgan has done as little or less than Chrissy. What? How? Huh? What do you guys think about this? So, Brent, I will throw this to you. What do you think about that? Has Morgan done less than Chrissy up to this point before this HOH? Had she done less or the same amount of stuff as Chrissy?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question. I will say that she's probably done. I think you could argue that she's done the least of many people in the house. On the other hand, I feel like Morgan is willing to see that certain people are threats who need to be gotten rid of, namely Shelby, namely Jason. I feel like she's aware of that and is willing to entertain offers to get rid of those people if she thinks that they would be a threat to her game. On the other hand, I do not feel like Chrissy has that gear in her, and that to me is a major factor in deciding who is a good Big Brother player and who's not.
Alex, what do you think about that? You buying that? Do you think that? What do you think about it?
I think Morgan's, you know, I mean, she's trying to like pour on some steam here late, and she's trying to play the game, and you know, maybe all season that wasn't really the case, but I mean, certainly I see a lot more effort from her than Chrissy. I think Chrissy is like, to me, far and away the player that never wanted to really grasp what this was. I mean, Morgan knew what this was coming in because Alex is a fan. So Morgan at least understood the social nature of this game, how she had to try to get along with people. And then she just, you know, the nature of the season and the nature of the division kind of pushed her in a direction where she then, I guess, didn't feel comfortable by herself or whatever the case may be approaching the other side, and the other side didn't approach her. But you get the sense that she would have been happy in a big group or, you know, having relationships with everyone. And you saw her talking to Neely and other people, you know, plenty. Chrissy, you never really got that sense this season. You felt like she was the kind of person who would be terrible, terrible in regular Big Brother because she like, oh, I'm going to find like, you know, two or three people that I get along with and just like stick close to them. And you know what that means in these games? That means you're in the minority and that means you go home first every time. I'm sorry, but like, you're just not made for this.
Okay. I have a question really quickly. So let's say that Jason is evicted here at 5. All right. Let's say that Morgan, who has been studying the days and really knows them, you know, front and sideways. Let's say she wins the veto. Who does she take out at 4? Obviously, she's not going to take Chrissy out. She wants to go to the end with her. Does she take Justin out because of the pizza song? Or does she take Shelby out knowing that she's probably a really big threat to win the game and is her ally and will probably get a lot of votes from the same people that are supporting her? Do you think, Alex, that Morgan has it in her to evict Shelby at 4?
It'd be tough. It's hard to see. It really depends on who's there, obviously. Like, if Jason's there, then no.
Obviously not. Jason, no, I'm assuming Jason.
Yeah. So assuming Jason goes home, from somebody, a perspective of someone who's not watching as much feeds, I would say I feel like Morgan is pretty, her and Shelby are pretty tight at this point.
I think even more than that, I don't think they realize that Shelby is as liked as she is. And I think they think Justin is more liked than he is. So I think you factor that in as well. And I think at that point that she's not going to risk it. She's going to go with, you know, at that point, it's like the Godfrey situation from your season, Jordan, where it's like, I think I'm screwed either way. Let me go with the person I'm comfortable losing to. And right. That to me is clearly going to be Shelby.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another one. Let's take this one from Stephen H. Stephen says, with only one person eligible for America's Care Package, should the BBOTT fans have the option of voting for giving the care package to nobody? Brent, what do you think?
No, that wasn't in the rules at the beginning. You know, Justin's going to get the care package. In fact, strategy has been made in the House based on the fact that Justin's going to be the one to get this care package. So, you know, to do anything other than give it to Justin at this point, I think would be a huge violation of the rules. In fact, if they did that, I would be done with the season because at that point, they're just making shit up. I would be,
I would love, oh man, I would just love to see Brent's like mad reaction for that.
Well, it wouldn't be like mad necessarily.
You'd just be like, you're done. You're done.
Well, I mean, like, you just, you know, like, I mean, what's the point of rules then if you're going to do that? I mean, they said the rule, you know, I know people have had a big problem with America's Vote, but like I said, I like the fact that they laid everything out. They said, this is what's going to happen. Here are the dates for everything. Here are all the care packages. You guys decide what you want to do. I don't love the fact that America had a big vote in it, but I like the fact that production didn't play favorites, that they put everything out there. We knew what we were getting into when we started this season. Having said that, the House guests also knew what they were getting into. Shelby, Morgan, and Justin made decisions last week based on the fact that Justin was going to get the care package this week and evicted Danielle because of it. If anybody should have a problem with it, it should be Danielle, because if she knew and was able to tell the other House guests that, Justin, you may not get the care package, it may just go to nobody then I think she may have had a better chance of staying in the House.
Alex, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, at this point, well, first of all, you can't do that. Like Brent said, absolutely can't do that. There's rules for a reason. You can't bend them. I mean, at that point, then people are right when they call the game rigged. I mean, at that point, you just like leave the, and that's why we were talking about how dumb it was for them to like issue a statement that was wrong and then retract it. Like, even if it was just some intern that did that, like, that's a bad look on CBS. That's something they have to do some damage control or something for, or like recover from, because it does make it look like potentially not like everything's not on the up and up. And that's something that's not good in a game where people always speculate that. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is just a situation where, where was I going with that?
That's okay. I have something to say really quickly. You know, going back to Jason complaining about the fact that he never gets a break. You know what? Also, Jason needs to take responsibility for the fact that he's the one who screwed up. Morgan would have never been there to get the break in the first place if they would have evicted her. They knew she could get a care package. They knew that Alex had already gotten a care package. They chose to evict Alex anyway, even knowing that they would have had a second shot to evict her later that night. So for those people who are complaining about the fact that Morgan got a magical power with her care package, with her veto, y'all need to sit down, because Jason and Danielle and the entire Jamboree had it in their hands to make sure it didn't go to Morgan and Shelby. No one would have had a chance of the care package on that side. It would have been forced to go to somebody on the Jamboree side, either Whitney, Danielle, or Justin, and they screwed up. They did. They let their emotions get in front of them. They wanted to take out Alex because they just wanted to beat her so bad because she was the gamer. They left Morgan in, and look what happened. So I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, huge mistake in hindsight. I remember what I was going to say now. Sorry, I'm tired.
It's all good, Alex. We're all tired, and we'll take only a few more questions so you can go to bed. It's 1 a.m. on the East Coast.
It's all good, man. You know I love everybody. I'm here for the people, Jordan.
Man of the people, Alex Kidwell.
Not as much you, but definitely the people.
The people the people and love. That's who Alex Kidwell is here
for.
Yeah.
So, but I digress. I was going to say that, you know, this is what, you know, me and Taryn have echoed, I think, at multiple points this season. You're beginning to see it from, you saw it a couple weeks ago from some Ballsmasters fans. I saw a lot of it on Reddit, where a lot of them have been hanging. And there's a lot of people saying, I'm canceling my All Access. I'm checking out on this season. I'm not feeling this anymore. I'm not going to vote anymore, because there's a bit of buyer's remorse here with this thing. Like, you know, Brent has talked about that he read the rules at the beginning. He knew what he was getting, and he, you know, made his peace with it early. And that's what you needed to do, I think. But not everybody, I think, was able to reconcile it quite that way in their heads. And I get that, too, where it's like a lot of people now are very frustrated. And you're seeing it most recently now from the huge contingent of Danielle fans, her just recently being voted out, where they felt like, hey, you were giving us a stake in this thing. I thought we were getting the opportunity to, like, propel X individual forward. And, like, why can't we be the engineers of, like, our own thing? But the reality is you were. Justin is in this position because we gave care packages to everyone else, knowing how the system worked. As it went through, we knew these many care packages left, this many available house guests, and people received them every week like clockwork. And we got to this point where everyone left in the house has the care package but Justin, and this is the nature of things.
Indeed it is. All right, let's take a few more. This one is from friend of the show, Matt Carter. Matt Carter says, what's your favorite BBOTT fan conspiracy theory? I'm finding many of them hilarious. There's been a lot of conspiracy theories. I think the one where, what was it, Danielle's uncle said that Shelby is dating someone from production and has
Still
Julie
waiting
Ken's
to
emails.
See those emails, Jordan. Still waiting.
I think
Twitter is with bated breath. Twitter has been for days now.
Oh man, I think that was my favorite one that I heard that you guys were talking about with Johnny Mac on the weekend. Alex, you have a favorite?
I mean, that's good, but it's also kind of scary. So yeah, I don't know about that one. I like the conspiracy theories that are a little more fun and no one's like potentially in danger of getting hurt.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. That is creepy.
So yeah, it took a very weird, dark, sinister turn there. I like that. I think Mirrorgate was good because Mirrorgate to me showcased, if this had problems, it showcased what the problems were in a lot of ways from the production side, which cheap instruments and poorly worded website. Design. So, you got like a nice full package right there with the whole Mirrorgate situation in that, like, certainly it created the most controversy. Like, you had both sides claiming rigged at various points with that. So that makes it extra tasty. And then just that, I mean, the fact that, yeah, like the thing was broken and then the thing looks broken again. I mean, it's just kind of funny at a point.
Brent, what about you? What's your favorite conspiracy theory?
I mean, I don't have any, I guess, because I get so tired of listening to them. I mean, people come on my Twitter and they say, oh, this happened because of this. I'm like, I just learned a long time ago that production really doesn't give a damn. They really don't. They really don't. And y'all need to get over it.
But none of them were so ridiculous that you loved them that they were.
I can't think of anything offhand. I don't know how you could watch that video. Mr. JP, who tweeted out a little bit. You got a little over your skis a little bit there. You tweeted out something and said that was bullshit. That Jason.
Hey, I didn't say those words.
Well, you basically did.
I didn't say that.
To use that term.
I don't use that foul language.
That Jason basically had an HOH taken away from him in Mirrorgate, and then after I sent you the video of Shelby picking up a mirror that was obviously broken the first time she touched it, and started rattle. Started the competition. Then privately admitted to me that my bad, Brent. Sorry, I did. I'm just gonna leave that tweet out there for
you. Know what, Brent? Hey, you know what? At least I admit when I make a mistake.
How's it feel to get thrown out of the bus, Jordan?
Oh, no, that's fine. Alex, this is not a bus-free zone. There are buses flying left, right, center, all over.
Yeah, it's like Frogger up in here.
Yeah, be prepared to get run over because it's going to happen at some point or another. You just wait. There's still lots of podcasts left, Alex. You might keep getting it tonight, too. Okay. All right.
I will say that, and this isn't like one theory, but I enjoy the fact that like I'm equally confused and delighted and mystified and whatever by in the last 24 hours, I've both heard this is rigged for Justin by multiple people and this is rigged against Justin from multiple people. Or sorry, Jason. In both instances. I messed that up. It's gonna be good.
It was gonna be good, and then today.
All today, it's rigged for Jason, it's rigged against Jason. So could it be Nothing.
I guess that's what that equals, right? It's well, who knows? That's just,
I think it's nothing. Obviously, Jason said it. Jason feels like this competition was rigged for him. He had it in the palm of his hand or his foot, as it were, and he said he just chose. So even if production does try and rig something for somebody, it they can't guarantee any outcome that they want. I mean, look, let's look at Chrissy and Morgan at the end of the head of household competition. I mean, Morgan, I think, maybe had another 30 seconds or a minute, and I think she was probably going to fall. I mean, it was very close there at the end. She even had a couple wobbles on her transitions where I was, like, literally holding my breath. So Chrissy could have easily won that. I mean, it wasn't necessarily made for Morgan. The girl who is the, frankly, the biggest girl in the house could have won the competition, and all the people who are claiming that the competition is rigged would have had to eat a little crow.
I mean, it could have just been endurance. It was trivia, too. So there was that element. Morgan killed the trivia. Good for her. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a couple more questions. This one is from Travis Payne. Travis says, ding, marry, kill, the final five players of 2016 Big Brother season. So final five of BBOTT, final five of Big Brother 18, or final five of Big Brother Canada 4. And to refresh your memories, BB Can 4. The final five was Kelsey, the Pax Bros, Joel, Cassandra, and
so easy.
Tim. I think that's okay. So there's them. Big Brother 18, we had Nicole, we had Paul, we had James, we had Corey, and was fifth, was that Victor?
Victor.
Yeah. Okay. And then BBOTT is Jason, Chrissy, Justin, Shelby, Morgan. So Alex Kidwell, let's go to you first. Actually, no. Let's go to Brent first because he said it's easy. Brent, who you dinging, who you marrying, who you kill?
Well, I'm just looking at all the boys from all those seasons because I don't give a damn about the girls personally. So I'm going to kill everybody from BB Can. Sorry, Joel, and sorry, Tim. Girl, bye. I'm going to marry Jason and Justin from this season of BBOTT. And obviously, I'm going to ding Paul and Victor because, let's be honest, who wouldn't? Alex, take it for the girls. Why don't you?
Well, all right. That's how we're doing it.
I wasn't doing it that way. How are you doing it, Alex? I was just doing it in terms of how much you like them.
Right. Yeah. But like, no. Do I have to readjust because I think Kelsey and Cass are attractive now? I have to?
No.
All right. Well, that's what I'm trying to clarify here. Well, in that case, then I will sadly, you know, based solely off strategic merit, kill that BB Can group. Unfortunate though it may be. Ding in this cast because this cast at least has, you know, Shelby and Jason and, you know, to a degree, Justin, who I think are going to stand out in various respects. And, you know, got to marry that BB18 group because I think there's a lot of there's two returning quote unquote fan favorites. There's two very dynamic personalities and a big old vanilla scoop of ice cream in Corey. So, you know, what do you want?
All right.
I forgot about Corey. Yeah, I would definitely ding that season. Yeah.
I will kill BBOTT for the sole reason that Chrissy is in there. I just can't. Okay. Nothing.
Yeah.
So bye, Chrissy. I will ding BB18 because there's a lot of fiery people in that group, and I think that's a fun group. I like Paul and Victor in particular. And Nicole's not that bad, despite all the hate she gets. And I will marry BB Can 4 because I'm Canadian. I have to stick with my brothers and sisters from Canada.
Of course,
even though there's one from Australia.
Of course, you would.
But yes, got to marry my own show.
Jordan's like locking up his ticket to the finale as we speak.
No, I'm not allowed to go to the finale. It's only the previous season's allowed to go. So, and I didn't go this year. So, wah wah. Sad
you're
face.
On the band.
Yeah. Or well, if you win, you're allowed to go regardless of the season. But you know how that went. Okay. Let's take one more question. This one is from Kevin Sandu. Kevin says, what does Justin need to do to have a chance at winning, or has the ship already sailed? Brett Walkamot, what does Justin need to do?
He needs to get Jason and Shelby out of the house. I mean, that is the long and short of it. If he gets those two people out of the house, I really do think that he has a shot to win, especially if he has a hand in getting out either one of them or both of them. I mean, if Justin got Jason out of the house, my respect for him would be astronomical, even if he did it at the final four at the very last minute. I expect him to want to get rid of Shelby because I think he's threatened by her. But that would be an ideal scenario for him if he got to the end with Morgan and Chrissy. And by the way, Justin knows this. He knows he can beat Morgan. It's so funny. Everybody thinks they can beat Morgan. Everybody thinks they can beat Chrissy. So I think you can just pencil those two people in. At this point, it's a matter of who's going to take that third spot. I mean, I can't see a scenario where both Jason and Shelby make it to the end, because let's say they both survive this week. Fast forward to next week, and one of them, I guess one of them could be HOH, one of them could win the veto. So I guess there is
a
way.
That's the only way. That's
yeah, I guess there could be a way. But I have to feel like this week, though, Jason or Shelby is going to go home if Justin is safe. So if Justin's safe, Jason or Shelby will be evicted.
Yeah, Alex, as long as Justin wins a comp, he should be in like a somewhat decent spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Brent kind of touched on it, but in the next two evictions, he needs it to be in some order, Shelby and Jason.
Yes.
And it sets him up for a final three with Morgan and Chrissy, and I think he wins. And beyond that, I mean, you could make the argument that maybe he wins if he's in there with Morgan and Shelby, because they might split votes and he might get the other side's vote. But if you really look at it, that's impossible. There's no scenario where Chrissy gets evicted at four. She's not going home here at five, as we've already laid out. And if you really look at it, no matter who wins HOH, like, they're going to choose one person to evict and two to bring with them to the end. So they're going to take out Justin if they're Morgan or Shelby, or they're going to take out Morgan or Shelby if they're Justin or Chrissy. So there's no scenario. Go ahead and pen her in. Like we've said, pencil her into the final three this season. Go ahead and grab your Sharpies, guys. Like this is like I'm looking at it now. Chrissy's in there already. So, yeah, I mean, basically, you know, that's half his work done. He just needs to make sure he can get there with Morgan.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. Thank you so much. We've got a lot of people staying up late. Look at this. It's 1:12 on the East Coast.
You guys are the best.
Yeah, well, you guys are awesome.
Guys and gals.
Thank you so much.
You
everybody.
All suck. In.
Oh, Brent. How mean of you.
When did you become the heel, Brent?
Yeah, Brent.
I'm just kidding. I love you all. How you doing?
For those of you in the chat room, we have one last request for you. If you could give us some ideas for hashtags for this episode, that would be great. And while we're doing that, we'll wind things down. Alex Kidwell, any final thoughts this evening?
It's just, you know, it's interesting. This game has had so many ridiculous variables all season, and it's been so hard to really track, like, okay, what's going to happen? Like, right after an HOH, it's almost, like, hard to speculate pretty much all season, because we really don't know, you know, without the care package, without the safety ceremonies and the various variables, we haven't really been able to talk about much in stone. But here we are now in a position. America's nominee is done. America's eviction vote is done. And we can really now look at it like it's a normal game of Big Brother and pretty well chart a path to the end for a lot of these people. So I like that. I'm back in my comfort zone with that, Jordan.
Brent, final thoughts, sir?
It's been a fun season, and we're not done yet. I'm still interested to see what happens here. I think it's interesting. Everyone in the chat room was saying that Morgan was a total choke artist, that she would never win this competition, and then she went and did it. The funny part is I never thought she was really in any danger. I really, like, let's say that Jason had won head of household here. If Shelby had won the veto, I have to believe that Jason might want to take out Justin, just to, you know, because he really wants to take Morgan to the end, and he said as much. It's so interesting. The great thing about BBOTT, we get to see their live diary rooms unfiltered, and as the season has gone on, it's been less, you know, read the question and give us a yes no answer and move on, as opposed to they really come in there and kind of vent to America, which is what I like. So I enjoy learning from them what their true intentions are. It was interesting to hear that Justin is not as loyal to Jason as perhaps I thought he was. It's interesting to me that Jason is threatened by Justin. I think Jason will evict Justin at the final four if Shelby is already gone. Like, let's say Shelby goes home this week by some mechanism of the care package and a veto. If Jason is in power next week with the veto, or the HOH, depending on how they do things, I don't even know if there's going to be a veto. But if Jason has any voting power next week, you best believe he's going to get rid of Justin and take Morgan and Chrissy with him to the final three.
Should be an interesting week, a couple weeks up ahead. I can't wait to see what's going to happen here. I feel like Jason's still going to win this thing, but we'll see. He's got to get through this week. Should be entertaining. Now, looking at the chat room here,
there's
guys.
There's no consensus, but I have one that I came up with. If you like, go ahead. So okay. there's a lot of bus throwing under buses tonight. Like you did it to Rob right before he signed off, and then you did it to me at the beginning of the show, and then I did it to you, and then Brent did it to you, and all that. So
you did it to me before the show too, Alex.
Well, we forget you're only adding to my case. So what about Late Night Frogger?
Late Night Frogger. All right. I'm in for Late Night Frogger. Yeah, I was going to say, the chat room, there's been like there's some sort of civil war happening in the chat right now. Somebody keeps saying, I hate you all. It's not good. So let's go with hashtag Late Night Frogger from Alex Kidwell. And just an announcement for you guys. When we didn't even talk about this, but the show aired earlier tonight. It aired at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And it looks like that is when the recaps are going to start for the weekly recaps are going to start the rest of the season. The eviction is going to be right after. So we're going to do our shows a little bit earlier. So that way for you guys on the East Coast, you don't have to stay up so late. So I believe what we're going to do next week is because we don't counter program with Survivor Know-It-Alls with Robin RHAP, we're going to do the show at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific is when we're going to go live next week. And I guess is only the 1 week after that. That's crazy. But anyway, the next couple of weeks, stay tuned to our Twitters. We will we'll fill you in on what's happening there. Follow Alex and Brent on Twitter if you don't already. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Just a programming note so you guys know, Rob, Alex, and Taryn will be back on Friday. Sunday, I will be back again with the new live feed correspondents competing in the So You Think You Can podcast competition. 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern for that show. That should be a lot of fun. Yeah, I know. What's so funny?
It's so funny. I've never heard anyone say the Pacific time over the Eastern time like you do. All of America, all of Northern America says the East. It's like 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. Like that's what they say. True. And you always
do West Coast, baby. Got to represent my people. Got to represent the West
Coast. I just listened to the first number and the second number, and I'm like, no, that can't be right.
No, hey, Brent, when you host the Brent Walgamont So You Think You Can podcast competition, you can read the
monster mash.
You can read them back the way you want. You can read the East Coast first, right, West Coast second. But when you got a West Coast boy reading it, sometimes.
Well, I'm glad that Alex is with me on that. Like Alex, the minute I started talking about it, Alex was like, yes, yes, yeah. Like, I mean, like he knew exactly where I was going with that. Like, well, I've never.
You guys
really
will
that.
Never well, understand.
I live on the Atlantic.
You guys will never understand our pain. Us on the West Coast, we never feel the love. I'm just trying to give the love to my fellow West Coasters. So this is why, I don't know, maybe we need to get a West Coast LFC member.
And never say never, Jordan.
All right. Well, anyway, good times tonight, guys. Looking forward to the next show. And thank you again so much for listening. Good to be back. For Alex Kidwell and Brent Walgamont and Rob Sesternino, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Late Night Frogger. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. The theme song of the Reality TV We're Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.